Yes, that's right. It's Castle Council time. It's on the Early Late Show with me, Stephen Castle, and sitting straight across from me right here in studio, Richard D'Souza. Correctly said?
D'Souza.
D'Souza. Okay, I've got to get it. I always get names wrong. I'm not terrible like it. Welcome.
Steve, thanks very much for having me on tonight. I appreciate being in studio. Yeah, I'm always passionate about talking about crypto.
So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight because I'm really stupid about it and you're going to be able to educate me. I'm going to leave you knowing all about it.
Well, hopefully you're going to leave you passionate about crypto. Then at least I know I've done something successful.
All right, so let's jump straight into it. First of all, Rich, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Steve, I came from reasonably poor upbringing, so I was always passionate entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur, if you want to put it that way.
What does that mean, serial entrepreneur?
You know, what it really means is that I tried so many different businesses in my life.
Okay.
I would try one thing, try another thing, and just fail at many, and eventually I found my niche in cryptocurrency. Before that, I was very passionate about programming and computers, building websites, and coding. Coding is my passion, so that is what sort of brought me to this space.
Oh, wow. Okay. So a little bit of the what's it they call binary, so zeros and ones. Is that...
Absolutely.
Do you see the world like the Matrix? So tell me, so how long have you been involved in crypto now?
I got involved in crypto it was late 2011, so early 2012 is when I started this journey down the alternative financial system or cryptocurrency.
Okay, so the question I have to ask you then is, and probably so if people are asking out there or thinking about it at least, is why should we be talking to you about crypto? What makes you the guy that can answer our questions?
Well, you know, other than I have a passion for crypto and I have absolutely devoted the last, 10 odd years of my life to this space, I have done nothing else. When I first heard about crypto, I think I was probably had the same reaction as many other people. I thought this is a scam, this can't work. I took 4 days off of work and spent the weekend and studied crypto. And I emerged on the other side of that, absolutely amazed, knowing that everything was going to change, knowing that our financial system was going to change. Mm. I was one of those guys screaming from the rooftops, do you guys not realize what we have just come across, what has been invented?
Yeah.
I kind of saw the light in that, and I was then sold. I went into crypto after that in a big way, 100%.
Okay, so now the question I'm going to ask you quickly is, now crypto's been around since, I mean, you got involved in 2012.
Correct, yeah.
So that's 9 years.
So Bitcoin came out in
it's
pretty good.
Okay,
Bitcoin came out in 2009.
Okay, so it's been around a long time. Are we too late to get involved in crypto? Like I don't know anything about crypto, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my little journey that I've had over the last couple of weeks with it. But are we not too late to get involved? As if you've never known this space before, are we too late?
Okay, so that is a question that people have been asking me since 2013. Are we too late? And the answer is absolutely not. In fact, this is so critical that I always say people are going to have no option but to get into crypto. So crypto is still very much in its infancy.
Why do you say that? Is that because we need... we have to, in terms of that people are only going to be accepting crypto?
No, that is more because it would be financially irresponsible to not be involved in crypto.
Yeah.
So if you don't know about crypto, if you're not partaking in crypto, it is going to be an absolutely irresponsible way to do things. Let's just take a bit of a journey back in time, if you will.
Mm.
And remember those guys that said, we don't need email. I'm perfectly happy sending letters through the post office.
Yeah.
You know, it works and it's worked for many years. I don't need to change. Email is complicated. We don't understand it. And people have to have a computer on the other side.
Yeah.
People said similar things about the internet. This is a network for porn and for university students to play on, right?
Yeah.
A bit like saying we don't need a car. Horse and carriage is perfectly good. It gets you from point A and point B.
Yeah.
And now we've got to the point where money has sort of got to that point. Well, you can say, no, I don't need to look at this alternative financial system.
Yeah.
But you will. You have no choice. As we evolve, everyone will be involved in crypto. Crypto is going to consume and envelop every aspect of our lives in some way or shape.
All right. Okay, we're going to get a bit more into that now. First, we're going to play you a little bit of money songs. Yeah, we're back on Castle's Council here with Richard in studio talking about cryptocurrency. Rich, tell me now, you said everyone's going to need cryptocurrency in the future. Is that because that's the only currency that's going to be available?
It's definitely not because it's the only currency that's going to be available, because I think that very likely in our lifetime we are not going to see the phasing out of the traditional financial system. This is something that will happen in the future, but we are definitely going to see the two financial systems running in parallel. And the reason that I say everyone's going to have cryptocurrency is because, let me put it this way, I've often spoken to financial advisors and very often had a very dim view of financial advisors. Now, if a financial advisor comes in and speaks to me, my first question is always, what is the best performing asset? Do you know anything about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency? The second they say no, it's not that I am against the guy because he doesn't know about crypto. I'm against him because he's not afraid and aware of the best performing asset over the last 10 years.
Okay. Now, because the question I'm going to ask you straight away with you saying that is what I've discovered and I've experienced over the course of the last, I just realized it's been about 2 months actually that I've been following what's happening, and I'll talk about that journey now. But I find the currency extremely volatile in terms of that it has highs and it had lows. It sort of jumps around quite crazily. Now, bear in mind, I'm not a guy that's ever played the stock market. I don't play that game. I've never played it before. So this is the first time I'm watching a trade scenario, and I just find it very volatile. Is that what crypto is? Is this unusual, what's been happening over the last sort of month and a half?
Crypto has always been volatile, and it needs to be volatile because it is a new asset that is coming into the marketplace. So we've seen extreme volatility. But putting that volatility aside, what we are used to is 200 to 300% gains on our cryptocurrencies every year. So I would
form, you're used to that?
Yeah, that is what
is happening.
That's what's been happening for 10 years.
Okay, because I was going to ask you that. We're going to get into that as well. I want to know about the longevity of and the growth.
I mean, we've had 1 or 2 years where we haven't seen those gains, but over the last 10 years, we've averaged out of 200 to 300% gains on cryptocurrency. So a lot of people speak about volatility. A lot of people speak about the way that cryptocurrency dips, and it often does have huge dips. Mm. But the point that we always have to come back to is, what is cryptocurrency increasing by? How much of the market cap is it taking? And it's constantly outperforming, hence my comments of a bit earlier, the best performing asset in the last 10 years.
But when it has its dips, it really has a dip, eh?
Well, it does, but yeah. I like to rebuttal that argument by yesterday, okay? So just take a second to think about this. Yesterday, we had an all-time high, which means that yesterday at the point...
Hold that thought for 1 moment, because now I want to ask you that. You're talking about cryptocurrency as a whole, at an all-time high, or are you talking about a particular type of cryptocurrency? Because that's the next question.
Normally, I reference Bitcoin when we talk like this, because what we've got to bear in mind is that there's over 7,000 different
cryptocurrencies. Because that was a question. So there's 7,000 different.
7,000.
Now, what are the? So is that 7,000 different coins?
Different coins, tokens, and cryptocurrencies in general.
And give me off the top of your head a couple of those. We've got some names to play
with.
Let's
go with the top ones. We've got Bitcoin, we've got Ethereum, we've got Binance Coin, we've got ADA, which is called Cardano. We've got Bitcoin Cash.
Cardano, I've heard of Cardano.
Yeah, we've got Bitcoin Cash. We've got Tron. There's many, many.
Okay, well, there's 7,000. So if you start now, I'm sure you'll finish tomorrow.
Yeah, and that number is growing every single day.
So it is growing. in terms of the coins coming into the market?
No, absolutely. I mean,
so how do you? Okay, so then explain to me, how do you create a coin? What is this that we're buying?
Look, a coin is created by anyone with a reasonable technical knowledge. I don't even mean a lot of technical knowledge. You could hit a YouTube video and within a couple of minutes you can have a cryptocurrency out.
So how is it of value then?
That doesn't mean that that cryptocurrency has value. Because out of the 7,000 that I've just mentioned, those are the 7,000 that are listed on popular coin listing sites. In reality, there's probably hundreds of thousands of
popular coin sites. You're talking about apps?
Well, there are sites like CoinMarketCap, which are known in the industry for listing reputable coins.
Okay.
They would take that's a listing of about 7,000 coins.
Okay. How many coins does your app? Because you've also got your own app. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we've got just over 20. I think it's 24. I speak under correction. But, you know, we have only got well-researched and coins that are of value on our site.
So that app we're talking about is called Altcoin Trader.
It's altcointrader.co.za, yeah.
Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit about that app and explain the use of it later. Okay, so how do I create a coin? And obviously it's a programming language that creates it. Is that what my understanding is?
It is a programming language, but you can get templates and it's very easy. But let's not get confused about creating a coin, because, you know, I could create a coin when I get home tonight. It doesn't mean that the coin has any value.
Well, that's the thing. Where does the value come from? Because I can understand currency. Currency comes from a backing of gold.
Okay.
So if I've got money, it's normally backed by gold, which has a value. That's the understanding of what I understand about
money. Okay, so that is a trick that the Treasury put on us.
Okay.
The US took money off of the gold standard in the 70s. So money is backed by nothing, right? It is not backed by, when I was in school, I used to look at my 10 rand note and it used to say, I promised to pay the bearer 10 rand on, in Pretoria.
Yeah.
And that 10 rand was referring to 10 rand worth of gold. That has since been removed. You have no claim on any gold. And our currency...
How long ago was that moved? How long was that changed?
That was changed many years ago. I don't know an exact date, but what I can assure you is that there is not a fiat currency. We talk about fiat currencies as dollars, rands, pounds, euros. There's not a fiat currency that is backed by gold that I know of. Your dollar, your rand, your euro is worth zero gold. And so when people say, where does it get its value?
Yeah.
We first need to understand a little bit about economics and understand that our rand is backed by absolutely nothing.
You're shocking me here, because I didn't realize that actually that gold standard as such has fallen away.
It's fallen away. I know in the States it was in the early 70s. I think it was 71.
Oh, that's a lifetime boy.
And I think in South Africa it was slightly before that, to be honest. So our money is not backed by gold.
Okay.
A lot of people, and especially people in the cryptocurrency space, make reference to the fact that our rand and the dollar is backed by government with guns. It's not backed by anything else.
Okay, so let's get back to crypto now, the value of crypto. How does crypto then get value?
Okay, so crypto has value because it is backed by mathematical principles. And it is sound. It is the hardest money that we have ever known. And when I say by hard money, it has a set of rules and regulations that make this currency, if you want to put it as a currency, and we're going to touch back on currency in a second, but it makes it the most sensible, logical way to distribute and save and preserve wealth. So Bitcoin is backed by hundreds and thousands of people that are working in the space to create a fair, logical financial system.
Okay. For me, and I'm thinking that the guys listening to this as well, if I am going to own crypto, which is now a currency, and I'm thinking I'm having currency, I can go and take that and I can go buy myself something to eat. I can't do that right now with crypto. I can't go and buy myself a car. I can't go buy myself a house. I can't buy myself food. So where does the value really come from? Isn't it, for me, it almost feels like it's empty. It's like some people have decided that it has value, so therefore, because like anything, supply and demand, I understand that the economics of that. So there's a demand for Bitcoin, there's a demand for crypto, so the price goes up. But what happens once you've got it? is it just a case of bartering up and down? We just keep bartering the same thing? Where do I get to utilize that value in a real world? Because that's what I need currency for.
I hear what you're saying, Steve. So before I answer that question, I want to just quickly tell you a story which I think is quite very pertinent to this topic.
Okay.
From last week, Ferris Motors, which is a high-end car dealership, started accepting Bitcoin, USDT, which is a stable coin, and XR, which is a cryptocurrency that was created by...
Who's this now? Say that name again.
Ferris Motors.
Is in the States?
No, they are a high-end car dealership here in this area, in the West Rand.
Joburg?
Yeah. They sell Ferraris, Lambos, and those type of things.
And they started accepting...
And you can go and buy a car with Bitcoin. In addition to that, We Buy Cars, one of the biggest car dealerships, accept Bitcoin, so you can buy a car there.
Okay.
Right? So already we're starting to see people accepting Bitcoin for goods that you can use.
So do you think that we're going to be able to go buy ourselves a loaf of bread and a liter of milk in the future with crypto?
Absolutely. We've had trials with Pick and Pay where they've accepted cryptocurrency.
I say we
as a South Africa. It was down in Cape Town.
Yeah.
There was a Pick and Pay branch that was accepting cryptocurrency, and they rolled it out on a trial basis. Obviously, there wasn't the demand, and this was a couple of years ago, so that project was shelved.
Yeah.
But that just shows what we can expect to see coming in the future.
All right. A lot to think about. We're going to hit another song. Yes, it's the Early Late Show in studio with Richard talking about cryptocurrency. And we just finished off something we said now off air, and I'm going to repeat it because I think it's part of the process of the thought that I know a lot of people carry at the moment that are unaware or looking at crypto from a distance at the moment, is what's the tangible value? And the tangible value is that, like you saw now, we just got ourselves some coffee and I paid the lady with the money that I had. I gave her the cash, she took it, and there was a transaction that was tangible. For both of us, we accepted what was given. Crypto's not at that level yet of where I could have said to her, can I pay you crypto? If it was, and I can understand the idea that if it was on a card, it was a credit card crypto, and I could probably swipe a credit card crypto. I mean, that's available now, isn't that already?
It is available in many forms. None of them, in my opinion, have actually really been successful to this point, but yes, that is available.
So that'll probably would be what would come, would be that crypto, taking my card, credit card, crypto card, whatever, and paying for a cup of coffee. Is that the process where it becomes tangible?
That is going to happen. I mean, there are people internationally that live outside or off-grid of the financial system. They only live in the cryptocurrency system. Mm. So these are guys that buy cigarettes, groceries, stay in hotels, pay their rent.
So you really can do that. It's already available.
You can already done. I actually met up with a guy that was passing through South Africa, and he was one of these guys that would not touch fiat or traditional money, and he found it exceptionally difficult going through South Africa, even to the point where he needed smokes badly.
Yeah.
And he gave me 200 rands worth of Bitcoin, and I gave him the cash so that he could buy the smokes. But the point that I'm making here is that we're at the stage where there are people that, people are living off-grid with electricity, they're not using the council's electricity.
Yeah.
We've got people that are living off-grid, off of the financial grid, with cryptocurrency, obviously still at this stage in South Africa, a huge challenge.
Yeah.
But internationally, very easily done. Internationally, you can pay for hotels, you can book tickets, you can buy meals, you can go to pubs, and you can buy groceries with cryptocurrency.
Okay, we're going to talk about that now, but I just want to get... There's so much to talk about. My head's already spinning, and you've made my head spin even more. For me, the big problem is how we find that value. Like, Bitcoin's come about, and I'm using Bitcoin as the topic, or as the currency. What is it? What would you call it?
Well, Bitcoin is the king of cryptocurrencies, we can put it that
okay.
way. So that is
the
number one first mover.
It's now gone from, a couple of years ago, it was not worth much, and it's sitting just, it's peaked now recently just 920,000, something stupid like that, eh? Am I right?
That is correct, yeah.
So it's getting to a million for a coin that started at 18, what did it start at? What was the first sort of coin. What, look, what did you buy your first coin for?
I bought my first coin for 60 Rand.
Oh my goodness.
So that was back in late 2011.
How does it have that? How does it go from 60 Rand to 900,000? On what backing of who? Like, I don't get it.
Okay, we're gonna get into that in a second.
Do you know what I think it is, Rich? I think that where I struggle with is the idea that, and maybe the idea of using the word coin, it sort of signifies a value, and that's the value. So if I think of, and I'm that old that I can go the one rand coin. The old one rand coin, the big one. Remember that one at the Springbok on the.
Yes.
Remember that one? Right? It, yeah. I don't know if you must be old enough to remember that.
I remember it very well. I remember the one rand notes.
Okay. Don't say that loud. Okay. So I see that as that's the value. It's one rand. It's a coin. So now you speak about Bitcoin it's getting past that idea that it has a value. It doesn't have a value. It's really a share that you're buying that has. Can fluctuate. Is that like the idea that like I need to get my head around it, that it's not a coin, physically a coin, it's a share that has different value to different people and based upon what somebody's willing to pay for it or sell it for is what I can get it?
Well, you're reasonably correct. I think that the best way to classify it is an asset. So the Reserve Bank and the regulators in the South African space have classified it as crypto assets. Whenever we talk to government and we discuss regulation, we are not allowed to refer to it as cryptocurrencies. We have to refer to it as crypto assets because that is how South Africa is going to adopt it. So it has all the functionality of an asset. You can trade it, you can sell it, it can appreciate in value, you can hold it. So it is a crypto asset.
All right, so now there are 7,000 of these coins floating around. We mentioned Bitcoin is the king. I didn't want to do this now, but it's bugging me about the Bitcoin. I saw I've seen it a couple of times now, come up on different social media, and I can't remember the guy's name. I think his name's Dan. You probably know him. Old guy, Dan, I think it's Dan something, who says the person that owns Bitcoin. Whoever, once the world finds out who owns Bitcoin, it's going to crash. Have you seen that clip? Because he said it a few times. I've seen it. I've actually seen him on two or three different occasions say it. And the reason why I know it's different occasions is because he's wearing different clothes. And I've seen him say that when the world discovers who owns Bitcoin or who started Bitcoin, it's going to flatten it.
Okay.
Who owns Bitcoin?
Okay, so Bitcoin was created by a person or a group of people going under the alias of Satoshi Nakamoto. So no one has ever been able to identify who this individual or this group of people is.
Why?
Because part of the Bitcoin ethos and the way that Bitcoin was brought about was in 2009 to tackle the financial crisis of 2008.
And that's the financial crisis in America.
Well, it was all over. I mean, I remember in South Africa, I was also losing properties and really going through some tough times. But he created it with the idea of decentralization. In other words, the thought behind this was that if people knew who he was and the government didn't like what was going to be created, because he correctly identified at that time that government was not going to take fondly to an alternative financial system because he who controls the money controls the power. So he created it in an anonymous way that it couldn't be shut down. And then what he actually brought out is nothing short of brilliant, where he had the model that miners would start to develop nodes all over the world, thereby further decentralizing the Bitcoin network and getting it to a point where it could never be shut down. Right now,
and
there's
no...
Well, that's an incorrect way of saying it. I should say he, she, or they.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe you had an insight there. You're going to tell me who it was. Okay. All right. Very interesting. We're going to tackle a little bit about how the mining system works. I look at that over the course of last week, mining side of Bitcoin, just to try and understand it. We'll talk about that now.
Castle.
Yeah, it's Tuesday night. It's the Early Late Show. It's myself, Stephen Castle. It's Castle Council. And we're talking cryptocurrency. If you've missed the first part of the show, you've missed a massive amount. I tell you, I'm spinning here. My brain is spinning. I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope you're listening in. If you've got any questions, please don't be scared. Drop them on the WhatsApp line. It's 064-536-8228. Send us your questions if you've got any, or maybe I'm just that good at interviewer. I'm finding out all the answers. I'm asking all the questions already. Rich, quick one here now. And we're talking about it all fair again. I'm actually scared to talk every time we go off here because there's so much information that I like everyone to hear. But one of the biggest problems that I find that, and I think that people have in terms of those who are not involved, is that we keep on thinking of this crypto as a currency. And I think you say we're going to be referring to it as a crypto asset. And I think that will probably change a lot of the dynamic of it. Where are we, and I'm going to get onto mining now, but we spoke about the first lot of coins you got involved in were was it 60,000 or 60 Rand?
60 Rand.
60 Rand. I want to cry when you tell me that. 60 Rand, okay? I now want to go and buy into Bitcoin. Now, it's sitting at, we said 920, I think it's at 870 or something now, or 850. Now, I haven't got 850,000 Rand to go and buy a Bitcoin. I would have had, I had 60 Rand, and I could have bought it then, but I can't. So how do I get involved now? Have I missed the boat yet? Because you spoke about the fact that it's going to go to 1 million, but that's not a big jump from where we are now at 920 to 1 million. That's, 60 to 900 is a bigger jump for anybody. But so are we too late if we haven't started this journey yet?
Steve, you're definitely not too late. Just to give you some sort of frame of reference here, if 1 Rand has got 100 cents, 1 Bitcoin has got 100 million Satoshis. So that would be equivalent to the cents. Mm. So you can still go and buy 1,000 or 10,000 Satoshis, which are the cents equivalent of Bitcoin.
Okay.
And Bitcoin, Bitcoin is going to become more and more prevalent. We are going to see it on bank ATMs in the future. We are going to just see it everywhere in our daily life. So in 2015, when I started telling people that Bitcoin was going to hit 1 million Rand, everyone was, you're out of your mind. That is a ridiculously high figure. We'll see it when it happens. Today, when I tell people Bitcoin is going to hit 1 million, they go, is that all it's going to do? I mean, surely it's going to do a lot more than that. And obviously, 1 million is a very arbitrary figure internationally because it's not even a psychological barrier when you look at the dollar and everything. So we can expect Bitcoin to just continue. We are at the very initial stages of institutions getting involved in Bitcoin. In other words, not the man in the street, not you and me, but the massive institutions.
Well, we saw Tesla buying.
The richest man in the world buying billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. I mean, that is a signal to take note of.
But that, that heavily affected the currency. It shot right up when he did that.
It shot right up.
Hit the $50,000 mark.
So did his share price, price of Tesla, but then obviously everything corrected again. But I think that is really just a drop in the ocean as to what we can expect. We can expect a wall of money from institutions flowing into the space. And when I say the space, I'm talking specifically about Bitcoin. Be very cautious about going into all those other currencies because that's a very easy way for you to lose your money. Bitcoin is the first mover. It is the brand. It is the store of value. And that is where if you own even 0.25 of a Bitcoin, you will be in one of the top 1% people that can possibly own Bitcoin.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about investing and how to do it now before we wrap up. But we've got, I can keep you all night, trust me. I want to just tackle the idea of mining Bitcoin. You mentioned it and I saw something about it in a week. So I went and I spent some time and I downloaded some software that allowed me to start mining just to understand what it does, what it looks like. And I was mining and I let my PC, my very basic PC at home, nothing fancy, mine for a couple of hours. And I think I made 26 cents, which was quite a lot for the time that I did it. I was quite surprised. But what is the process of mining and what does that mean for like the person that's involved in crypto asset? How does that, what is the mining part of it?
Okay, I'm going to quickly touch on that with many aspects. First of all, a lot of people that enter the crypto space that are new to the crypto space look at the price of Bitcoin, realize they can't afford to buy a full Bitcoin, not understanding that they can, of course, buy a tiny fraction. So like on Altcoin Trader, you can buy 50 rands worth of Bitcoin, and that's something that's worth noting. Back to your earlier question where you said, is it too late? So you can absolutely buy 100 rand, 200 rands worth of Bitcoin, and of course that'll appreciate. Well, hopefully appreciate. I mean, anything can happen, you know. We always say we're not financial advisors, but I think I actually have to start taking that out of my repertoire, because as I mentioned earlier, if you don't own Bitcoin, I'm considering people that don't own crypto crazy people. But back to mining, so what they do is they say, okay, we cannot afford to buy Bitcoin, let's try and mine it. I think I could maybe save a lot of people a lot of trouble with the current prices of electricity in South Africa. I have tried many ways to work this out, and I would like to just categorically say it's not viable. You can't make money buying Bitcoin. Now, of course, that's not a blanket
statement. You can't make money mining Bitcoin.
Mining Bitcoin, no.
In this country?
In this country, no.
And even with alternative energy?
Well, even with alternative energy, you really have to be very well funded, very knowledgeable in the space. And this is, bear in mind, it's just my opinion from a reasonable amount of research that I've done. Oh. We've probably already got guys that are writing in the comments saying, that's not true, I'm making money. And, you know, kudos to them.
Well, I heard somebody today that says that they're making 4,000 rand a month mining.
And it is possible, because there are kind of ways that you can make it work. But what I'm saying is, if you're new to the space and you don't know anything about it, Bitcoin mining is a huge challenge. You know, the more people that try it, the better, because the stronger it makes the network.
Okay, what is Bitcoin mining?
So Bitcoin mining, I always think that the word mining is very confusing, especially to newcomers. So if we could maybe call it Bitcoin accountants or Bitcoin ledger keepers. So what miner really does is just records all of the transactions that happened in the last 10 minutes, bundles this into a block and puts it on, hence we get the name blockchain. So a miner is an accountant. They know that I sent you some Bitcoin, you sent Bob some Bitcoin, and they take care of all those transactions.
It's like a ledger.
It's a ledger, absolutely. And they put those transactions in the ledger so that everyone knows at the end of the day what their balance is.
Where's that now, stored?
That is stored on the blockchain. And as I say, Bitcoin at this stage makes a block more or less every 10 minutes. Now, whoever gets to do that accounting work and create that block gets rewarded with a mining fee. Okay. So that used to be, it started off with 50, then 4 years, then it was 25, 12 and a half, and so on. I think now we are at 6.25 Bitcoin per block. So it's still a huge amount of money. Not only do you get that 6.25 Bitcoin, but you get the
6.25 what?
Bitcoin for mining a block.
You get 6.2 Bitcoins.
Correct.
Six times.
So we're talking 6 million rand, more or less.
For
mining one block.
And what does it take to mine one block?
It takes a huge amount of effort, luck, and power. Computing power.
How long?
Well, so you see, the way mining works is that they force the computers to solve a really complex mathematical equation, right? Uh-huh. So all the computers, the mining and the actual writing of the ledger is easily done. It could probably be done on a cell phone. You don't need much computing power. But to get the privilege of actually writing that block and getting that mining reward, you need to have solved that mathematical equation. The reason they make that mathematical equation so complicated is because it is worked out in a way that blocks are created only every 10 minutes. If it was too simple, we'd have blocks being created every minute, which is not what Bitcoin is about. We're trying to make sure that it's every 10 minutes. So as soon as the computer power becomes...
Why?
Because this is the way the network is designed, and it is the way that the Bitcoin distribution was planned. So remember, if you had it every minute, and I don't want to get too technical here, but you'd be having 6.25 Bitcoins flooding into the ecosystem every minute.
Yeah.
And that is not the amount of Bitcoin that we need into the Bitcoin ecosphere. Okay. So we need 6.25 more or less every 10 minutes. So we have an algorithm that adjusts the difficulty to keep it at that 10-minute mark.
Okay. All right.
Okay, but so really, just to put this, keep this clear before we get people that are just get too confused with it. It's the accounting of the blockchain. It's the people that keep the ledgers that get rewarded for actually doing this work. So we're paying our accountants in Bitcoin. Yeah. And we call them miners.
Phew. Okay. I'm starting to get a better understanding as to what this is all about. We're going to talk about getting involved, putting money down on Bitcoin, how to do it, where to go with it. We'll do that straight after this. Yeah, it's Castle's Council, and I tell you, my brain is on fire. I mean, loving this cryptocurrency. Richard in the studio talking about it, telling us all about how it all works. And I think I've got a better idea. Hoping that you out there listening have got a little bit of a better idea how it works. Rich, what I want to talk about now is how do we get involved now? Because I think that's the next step for anybody now. You saying that we need to get involved in crypto. If you haven't got it, you're crazy. What's the next step for, I've got Johnson at home, and he wants to now buy a piece of Bitcoin. Because you can't buy a full Bitcoin. not at 800, 900,000. Well, maybe John's got money, but I'm just thinking, John works for a normal wage, and he wants to start buying some money. What's the process now, and how do we go about it?
Steve, it's very easy. It's a lot easier than people think. People always get, they think that this is a whole complex ecosystem, and it really isn't. The steps are simple. Go on to altcointrader.co.za, register a free account. And then what I always say to people is don't jump in. Don't put a huge amount of money in. Start with 500 Rand a month. Or, whatever your budget allows, if it's depending on how you're doing, it might be 1,000, might be 10,000, but go with the amount that you are more than comfortable with.
Yeah.
And put that in every month and make sure you buy a Bitcoin. This is called Rand cost averaging.
Okay, so now you're talking about a long-term buy now. I take it this is what you're advising now. You're saying every month buy 500 Rand of the Bitcoin and just leave it there.
Absolutely. And the reason we do it every month is because if you go in now and you spend a huge amount of money and the price falls tomorrow, you're going to feel crushed. You're going to get out. You're going to make a huge loss and you're going to go, I'll never touch this cryptocurrency again. But if you go in a little bit every month, you get a nice average of the price. And that is a way to secure your money and make sure that you get the gains of 200 to 300% per year, which are, and I can't say that that can be guaranteed, but what I can say is that that's what we've seen historically. And by rand cost averaging in a little bit every month, you're going to find yourself in a position where the volatility doesn't affect you that much.
So what you're suggesting now is almost like an investment. In the investment savings type of way of getting involved in Bitcoin. Am I right in what I'm?
Absolutely. I believe that Bitcoin should be, any financially responsible person should have some cryptocurrency on their portfolio. And I think we've got to a stage in this modern day and age where you should be responsible for your own finances. You should have a portfolio. A lot of people say, I can't make it to the end of the month. I've just got no money. I've got no money to invest.
Yeah.
And my comeback is always, okay, can you invest 1 Rand? And they are, don't be stupid. Anyone can invest 1 Rand. My follow-up question is, okay, so you can afford something. Now we need to work out, is it 100 Rand? Is it 200 Rand that you can invest?
Yeah.
But you have to have a portfolio. Even if this is just average financial advice, even if it's not in cryptocurrency, you need to have a portfolio. You need to have a savings plan.
What's the smallest amount you can buy?
I think
through that.
On our platform, it's about 5 Rand 70. So it really is tiny.
Oh, really? Okay. That's small.
Yeah, that's small, yeah.
Okay. So let's just run this over now. So the app's called Altcoin. It's one word.
Yes.
Altcoin. Altcoin Trader. We'll put this up on the podcast as well in case anybody wants to find it. Altcoin Trader. You download it, you register, and then how do I get money into the app?
Getting money into the app is very easy. You just click on the deposit button and then it will show you a bank account with your unique reference. You make the deposit and you put that reference and that money is allocated to you automatically.
I had a look at the app actually early enough and tonight actually I looked at it again and I saw that you had Zapper on there, but it's not working yet.
That is a very interesting story. So currently we are embroiled with a court case with Absa Bank because they terminated our Zapper. So that is something that's also all over the headlines. But we are hoping to win that court case, which will be coming up next month.
What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, the reasoning behind that is that APSA actually, Zappa was given an ultimatum to take down our services by APSA, otherwise APSA would no longer bank them. And they, of course, came and told us, we have to take it down. We proceeded with legal proceedings against Zappa, and they said, guys, well, our hands are tied. Then we got APSA involved in this. And basically, to make a long story short, they're saying that they are not comfortable with the risk that cryptocurrency exposes them to. But the point here is that they are interfering with a third party's contract.
Where's the risk from them?
Exactly.
Somebody's busy making a payment. How's it a risk?
So this is, my attorneys would probably be a little bit upset with me discussing this on here, but yes. I'm very passionate about it. I mean, just simply Google Richard D'Souza APSA and see 100 things come up.
Yeah.
You can get more information on the internet.
Okay, you've got to do a bank deposit.
At this stage, you do have to do a bank deposit. As soon as we win this court case with APSA, Zappa will be back up and running.
Okay, so you do deposit into it, and then, so I'm going to talk this through, so in case anybody out there is not sure, I'm going to talk it through, because I'm going to do this tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to do a deposit into altcoin, 500 Rand. I'm just going to do this. This is the process I'm going to follow. The money is in the account, do I buy Bitcoin? I just go and buy whatever rate it's, whatever it is at the moment, I just go and buy it. Is that the right thought?
Well, certainly if you rand cost averaging, that's a reasonably sensible way of doing it. Once you become a little bit more afraid, yesterday we had Bitcoin at 920, today we've got it at 850.
No.
So once you get into this, you might want to exercise some caution and try and buy it when it drops a little bit. Mm. But the main thing here is that you actually make that purchase and move it into Bitcoin. So, I think by your second, third month, you're already starting to follow the price. You're starting to develop some interest, and you know when it's a little bit higher, when it's a little bit lower, and obviously try and buy the lower.
Okay. So do a slightly calculated look at it, because the app has a market on it, where you can actually see what's happened over the last...
Absolutely. There are charts on it, so you
like
can see
week,
exactly
2 weeks, month, whatever. So you can get an idea of what's going on.
100%.
And try and catch it at maybe a low moment.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. One thing I did see, there are a couple of these apps out there. We mentioned, obviously, your app, Altcoin, and there's another one called Vala. I think that's how you say it. I don't even know how you say these names.
That's right.
But what I wanted to know was that particular app has buy and sell orders. Do you guys have buy and sell orders on your app? Can you create orders, buy and sell?
Absolutely, you can. We've got something called Easy Buy, which is for the novice, that they can just go in and buy. A caution on that, the fees are slightly higher if you use that, but that's industry standard. It's like that on all the exchanges.
Yeah.
And then once you, you can go to do normal buy and sells, and that's where you actually specify a price.
So you can specify a price, and then when it hits that, it'll buy.
Correct.
And you can do that on Altcoin.
You can.
Okay, so that's another way of also just sort of watching. If you haven't got time to watch the market, a way of sort of picking up.
No, absolutely. I mean, you could go and put an order in for 800,000. The second that the price dropped to 800,000, your order would be filled.
Yeah.
Regardless.
But we don't know how long that's going to take. If it does, and if it will happen again, we don't know.
That's okay. Exactly right.
So that's the one way of investing, and that's the long-term buy. Okay. What I've been playing around with over the last 2 months is catching that short, that, what did I call it earlier? It's like, it's up and down, it's like sporadic, it's like crazy. It's trying to catch those drops and highs. So making 10, 15% margins on those drops and highs, is that a way to do it? Is that another way of trading Bitcoin?
So, Steve, that's a very interesting one, and it is a way of trading Bitcoin. A lot of people do it, and a lot of people are very successful doing it. I really, to be honest, am very poor at trading, so I am one of the guys that sits in the camp of buy and hold and don't do that. So statistics show that less than 10% of traders can actually do that successfully, and of that 10%, 1% can do it consistently. So you're fighting some heavy odds, but I do know
just
a lot of
1%.
But I do know a lot of people that are successful traders. They understand how to read charts, they understand trading, because trading, whether it's stock market or Bitcoin, it is still trading. So if you are inclined to have the emotional stomach for that, and you know when it's going up and down, you can actually become can become a very lucrative pastime, if we put it that way.
Is it advisable to play the stock game with Bitcoin or with crypto? Is it advisable? I mean, because it seems very it's just so volatile. Like, I know a couple of guys that I know that obviously that heard that were doing the show were telling me that they sort of like are playing buying, and then they like, I think it's called leveraging, or whatever that means, leveraging future funds, or it's going to do certain things. Is that a clever way to do it if you know what you're doing, in terms of, because it's so volatile?
So leverage trading is a whole different way of doing things. It allows you to buy a lot more coins than the money that you have. Of course, then the margin for error becomes a lot lower, so you can lose and your position can be liquidated much quicker.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not advisable for the novice. In fact, I personally think leverage trading is sort of venturing into the area of gambling, and I don't personally like it. A lot of people, I can hear them screaming, saying that leverage trading is a good way to really escalate and leverage, just as the word implies, getting greater gains on your Bitcoin.
But you got to know what you're doing. You've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing, that you're putting your money behind.
And certainly, just from a very basic point of view, just buying low and selling high is something that you have to first master before you start looking at leverage trading.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Okay. The time is flying here. I've kept you very long. I'm gonna let you do a wrap up, one more song, and then I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna keep you longer. I could probably keep you here until tomorrow. All right, we're back in there. It's Castle Council, Tuesday night show, the Early Late Show. I had a bit of a gremlin in the system there, and we couldn't get Kanye West to sing us Gold Digger, and then eventually I got him to sing it, but he kept saying the same word over and over again. I don't know if you heard. So apologies for that, but we're back, and apparently he also said, I think he swore in the song, which is a naughty boy. He shouldn't have done that. Apologies to all those out there. We'll have to get rid of that particular version of the song. Take it off the system. Right, I'm in studio with Richard discussing crypto. I'm going to stay away from the word currency because it messes me up. Crypto asset. Question for you on the way to sort of wrapping up Castle's Council for tonight. Why should I play crypto and as opposed to doing any other investment? Why shouldn't I just do an RA? Why should I go into the crypto sort of field or space?
Steve, that's a good question, and this is something that got me passionate about crypto. So if you're asking why crypto as opposed to the traditional financial system which we have, it doesn't take a lot of investigation to understand that society's financial system is flawed. I mean, everyone is broke, people are battling, we've got so many people that are homeless, and this is no way for a society or a race to actually function on a planet. It's absolutely unacceptable what we're seeing in today. You know, we've got guys that are really working hard, that cannot provide for their families, they cannot keep a roof over their head, and it's just not right. And anyone just opening their eyes and taking a second to look around can understand that our current financial system doesn't include everyone and is fundamentally flawed. Going back to 2008, when there was the financial crisis, this is what birthed Bitcoin. This is what got Satoshi to start saying, guys, we need an alternative. As an intelligent species, we need a different way to do things. And Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies as a whole, and a financial system that is not centralized aims to solve this problem. I'm just going to quickly tell you, many years ago, we had the battle where we had to get church and government separated, because church was able to start dictating really absurd things to government because they had the power, and they had the power of the church behind them, and it made logical sense that we needed the government that ruled us not to be dictated to by a religious sect or church. And church certainly has its space in society, and we obviously all respect that, but it doesn't have the power to rule the people and make demands on the government. Now we've moved into a different era where we need to separate government and finance, and the reason for that is because our current rulers currently have mandates to make stupid decisions with no consequences, because they have, because whoever has the money has the power, so there is no consequences for government. Now we need to separate government and power in the form of finances and money. So we're separating finance from the state, and when we do that, we will get to a stage where the government is responsible and makes decisions that have huge consequences, doesn't have the power or the finances to buy them out of any ridiculous move they make. And I am not libertarian at the point where I say we don't need government. Government definitely has its place in society. But what we need to do is we need to get to a point where government serves the people, not buys out all their mistakes with the power and the finances that they have. So cryptocurrency aims to solve a lot of these problems. We get greater financial freedom and greater financial inclusion by an alternative financial system. Bitcoin does not discriminate. It doesn't care how old you are. It doesn't care what your credit rating is. It simply allows anyone that has a computer and a little bit of understanding to participate in this amazing financial system.
What feedback are you required to as a trader of crypto? What feedback do you have to give the receiver of revenue in terms of what I'm doing with my crypto? Are you obliged to divulge information in terms of what I'm doing?
Look, at this stage, obviously cryptocurrencies are not regulated in South Africa, but a lot of people say it's not regulated, you can do as you like, and that is not the case. I'd like to stress that. You know, obviously, any money that moves into your bank account and out of your bank account, if you make a profit with crypto, you have to pay tax with that. So just to give you an idea, it's sort of split down the middle. Remember, altcoin trader takes money and pays money out. So if you put 500 Rand in, you buy Bitcoin goes to 1,000 Rand, and you withdraw it, we pay you that 1,000 Rand back into your bank account. And obviously that is a taxable event because of the fiat aspect of it. In other words, the traditional finance aspect of it. Yeah. So we are obliged, not only we, but your bank will report that to SARS. So you would have to pay tax.
But you're obliged as well to report whatever you do.
We have never at this stage reported anything to SARS because it is an unregulated environment. There's been one or two cases, fraud cases, where subpoenas have been issued and we have been obliged to report that way. But we've never reported, and neither have any of the other exchanges to the best of my knowledge, because it is covered by what goes into your bank account. But that regulation is coming. Our regulators, our government, have made it very clear that in the possibly months, I believe it'll be years, about 18 months would be my guess, that regulation will be here in South Africa. In
what regulation that is that you have to disclose? You guys have to disclose?
There's a lot of regulation that includes exchanges like ourselves getting licenses, falling under certain classifications. We're all at this stage registered with the Financial Intelligence Center. But full regulation of the space, is coming out.
Is there any way to get paid out that I don't have to pay it back into an account?
At this stage, look, you can obviously take your Bitcoin, but then we're back to the situation where you have a cryptocurrency that you can take out of the exchange. A lot of people that are very passionate about cryptocurrencies would always advocate that you hold your own cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
So this is another amazing thing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, is that you, without any third party, without any bank or exchange, have the power or the capacity to own and hold your Bitcoin.
Where do you hold it?
Well, you could hold it on, we call it a hardware wallet, which looks very similar to a flash drive or a thumb drive, and it can be held on a device like that.
Wow. But that can also go missing.
Well, yeah, if that goes missing, it could be extremely costly for you.
Or get stolen.
Yes, it could get stolen. But obviously, you can, this all works with the way you back up what we call your private keys. So you can back up your private keys in multiple places, thinking about things that your house could get burnt down. People could put a gun to your head and want your cryptocurrency. So a lot of people will store half of their password with themselves, the other half with the attorney or the accountants. Obviously, with Altcoin Trader, we've had to take extreme measures that if any one of the key personnel gets attacked or hijacked, they cannot have access to the coins. So you have the ability to move the coins off of any exchange or out of the reach of any third party.
Can I, if I, let's just say I owned a coin, a full coin within Altcoin Trader, could I move that coin somewhere else?
Absolutely.
How do I do that?
You just hit the, you push the button that says withdraw, and it'll say what you want to withdraw. You would say Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You would put in the amount of Bitcoin you want to withdraw. You would put in the Bitcoin address where you want it to go and click proceed.
What would that address look like?
That address would look like a long string of numbers. It's
okay.
It's similar to a bank account, but it's alpha numeric and numeric numbers.
Okay.
So, and it's a long string. It's something that you would not easily remember.
So at the moment, there's a way for me to move money around without the banks knowing what I'm doing.
Well, absolutely. You can move Bitcoin, you know, across multiple platforms. You can move it into decentralized exchanges, centralized exchanges. You can move it anywhere in the world, at the touch of a button, and that value can be transmitted. So, yeah, Bitcoin is extremely portable, extremely mobile. You can move it anywhere you want to.
That sounds very attractive. Now I'm starting to understand this. All right, lovely stuff. Okay. Before we go and before we wrap up, I want to just ask you, you mentioned earlier something that's added to the conversation was we had to separate church and government. Are we not getting to a stage now of one world, one currency? Isn't that what we're heading towards, a one currency sort of base, and in that crypto is a currency across the world?
Well, look, Chris, crypto is the first currency that is borderless and stateless and, you know, is not controlled by a centralized party or government. So it's out of the reach of government. It's out of the reach of traditional society controls. But I think we are very, very long way from one world currency. I mean, cryptocurrencies can be created, you know, as we said earlier, there's over 7,000, and that's just the known ones that are sort of semi-respected.
Yeah.
There's probably hundreds of thousands of cryptocurrencies and tokens around. But no, because Bitcoin fulfills a niche of a store of value. At this stage, it's incredibly impractical to use as a currency. So just imagine going down to buy a coffee. Bitcoin blocks are processed every 10 minutes, and any vendor is going to want at least 2 blocks to be processed before they know they've got the Bitcoin.
Mm.
So you would essentially have to wait 20 minutes after buying your coffee before they would know that they've got the money. So Bitcoin is not, it should be considered digital gold. It should be considered a store of wealth or an asset.
Okay, sure. There's really so much to this at the moment. As I said, we could probably discuss this all day, and I can probably keep you all the time. I want to just touch on before we leave something new that I've seen. You obviously know Gary Vaynerchuk. He's been talking about crypto forever, and now he's talking about NFTs, non-fundable tokens. What's your thoughts on NFTs and in terms of that market? What's your idea, your thought in that?
Look, it's going to sound like I'm going to contradict myself here, but I have a very clear thought on it. So NFTs certainly have a role to play in the cryptocurrency space.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I believe NFTs are extremely overhyped, and I would caution, NFTs, people are selling digital art right now.
If you don't know what NFT stands for, non-fundable token, which is somebody creating digital art, a one-of-a-kind digital art.
Yeah, so it stands for non-fungible. That's the actual
fungible
word. Fungible.
Okay.
So fungibility means, you know, that it's not the same as something else.
Yes.
So like 1 rand, if I pay you 10 rand and you pay it back to me in a week, I don't care that it's not the same note. So that would mean that's what fungible is.
Yeah.
So fungible, it means interoperable. But non-fungible is one of a kind. So it's like an antique. You know, if I give you an antique desk and I want you to pay it back in a week. I want that exact one. I don't want one that's similar. Mm. So that's why they're making digital art. And if you are not an art dealer or experienced in art, you know, I don't think you have any knowledge in buying art, and you're really, really speculating. I think that non-fungible tokens, and I have non-fungible tokens, and I've had them for many, many years, but they've got many, many use cases. Like I've got virtual land in a platform called Decentraland. So I've bought a plot of land, which is...
this doesn't end. It's like a down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah, which is a non-fungible token. The famous game CryptoKitties. Every kitty that you had and every kitty that you bred are non-fungible tokens which have value. You know, some of them have extremely high value, but you can have two crypto kitties, and you and I might not know the difference. One's worth $1 million, one's worth 20 cents.
So I feel like a deer in the headlights right now when you're talking about stuff. I'm like, there's so much I don't know of what's going on at the moment.
To answer your question, unless you are, this is not a quick way to make money, non-fungible tokens, unless you are schooled and understand the marketplace that you're dealing with, use extreme caution, because right now I personally believe that the market is very, very hot and prices are
because that's the big push at the moment with Gary Vee, is that the NFTs is like, that's the next thing. He spoke about crypto, I mean, a couple of years ago, and he spoke about TikTok, and so everyone sort of buys in a lot what he has to say and what his sort of vision is, and that seems to be the big hype, is non-fungible tokens. I look at it, I was like now, deer in the headlights, I was like even more confused. I think what we're going to do, I'm going to start slowly, I'm going to start with crypto. I don't want to miss out on that 60 rand Bitcoin.
Well, I would strongly advise anyone that's new to this space to stay away from non-fungible tokens right now until they have the understanding of what they are. These are one-of-a-kind tokens that the value is very much speculative. And if you buy it at a certain price, you've got to know that there's a market. You know, with Bitcoin, you buy it at a certain price. You know that there is an international market. That price is all over, and you know that you can sell it at that price. It is not the case with a non-fungible token.
But that wasn't the case when it was 60 Rand.
Well, to a certain extent it was, because there were exchanges. I mean, Altcoin Trader was birthed out of the fact that there were no South African exchanges at the time that I started coding it. So, but the Bitcoin price was an international price and was well known. And we saw it grow, and we saw it fly, and we saw it crash. And it is something, it's like the gold price. You can get it, you can see it every day, you can monitor it, and you can rest assured that you can sell your coins at the international price just about at any stage within a couple of seconds.
Okay, so the word is NFTs. Watch the space, investigate a little bit more, don't be in a hurry.
Don't be in a hurry. I don't think that this hype will be here in 6 months or a year's time. Certainly, having said that, I am a strong believer. I own NFTs, but I think they have their time and place, and it's a very specific use case. What's going on right now is, in my opinion, a bubble, and I always hate people that say crypto's in a bubble, so it seems very contradictory for me to actually say that. But NFTs, the hype is going to cool down, and I think that sanity will prevail in time. So do not rush out and buy NFTs unless you are absolutely happy to lose the money you invest.
Okay, there you go. Straight from the horse's mouth, from the crypto mouth. Richard, in wrapping up, any closing thoughts? You've probably got hundreds of them. I've got millions of them in terms of crypto.
I do have closing thoughts, and what I'd like to just stress, and this is the main point that I'd like to get out to as many people as possible. People are currently underestimating what cryptocurrency is going to mean in the future. Guys, this is not a fad, this is not a phase, this is not something that few people are going to be involved in. This is a life-changing technology that is going to reach every aspect of our financial well-being. And to not be at least have an understanding and to own some crypto, in my opinion, is financially irresponsible. You need to look at the space, you need to take it seriously, because it is not going away.
All right, great. Richard, thank you very much. I think what I've taken from tonight particularly is the idea that you don't have to get involved in crypto. It doesn't have to be a daily slog in terms of watching the market and playing the the volatile markets at the moment. It's really a case of going in for the long game and getting involved. So I think anybody listening out there, I think take away the idea that you've got to get a piece of this pie, and it can start as small as we said. I mean, as a small little investment, download the app. I think put some money in and get involved. I think you after tonight's chat, you actually would be stupid not to get involved. So thank you very much for coming in. I'm going to have a lot of questions tonight when I go home. I'm going to have questions tomorrow. I can imagine my phone's going to be having lots of questions. We're going to post this up on the Castle Council podcast as well. So if you missed anything tonight, or you want to let somebody else listen to it, or you want to advise them, remember, look out on the Castle Council podcast. Thank you for coming in, Richard. It's been great. I've learned a lot, and I'm hoping the listeners out there have listened a lot and learned a lot, should I say.
Steve, thanks very much for having me.
Great, thank you. Castle.